You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. President walking between Marine One and Air Force One on his way to Pittsburgh. Good Tuesday morning to you. Yeah, back from the headquarters, back at the headquarters of All Marine Radio. Nice. Jack and Joe, yeah, they're here. Fired up. Nice to be home, but had an awesome time in D.C. Got to see my son and daughter-in-law and son-in-law and grandson, Mr. Finn. Yeah, I watched Tim Burton's, I don't know what it's called. Finn calls it Scary, Scary Christmas. So I got a chance to watch that. Then I got told it's 25 years old, and I'm kind of perplexed why I've never seen it before. I've got a 15-year-old. But I didn't really buy the movies. I would just watch them. For instance, I am fluent in all things related to Marty McFly. Yeah, I know Marty McFly like few people know him. Like, how many times did I watch that movie? A lot. Three kids, they all enjoyed it. But, yeah, I never saw this, which is kind of odd because my ex-wife, Susan, loves Halloween, is like her favorite time of the year. Yep, no kidding. Loves Halloween. So why wouldn't she embrace a movie where the lead character who's in charge of Halloween tries to take over Christmas? I have to ask her that, because I would think that she would be, because she, scaring people is something that she thinks is very funny. So, to include our kids, so, I'd never seen that movie. I was a bit taken aback when I was told it was 25 years old, and I'd never seen it. So that's good. So I got to do that, and then all the other things I got to do, from going to the National Museum of the Marine Corps, which I had not been to in a few years. Actually, when Patrick got commissioned was the last time I was in there. 3 plus years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. So if you haven't been, as F-18 man has not been, then by all means, put it on your list when you get to D.C. If you haven't taken your family to D.C., by all means, put that on your list of things to do today. So yesterday, got a chance to meet with the editor. I never met Chris Woodbridge, comes on the show, editor and publisher of Marine Corps Gazette. He's the publisher of Leatherneck Magazine. Got a chance to talk to him and meet him and sit down and have lunch. And so and then I hung out, waited for my flight. And flight pretty uneventful. Sat next to a guy who was born in India. He was in D.C. from Los Angeles, lobbying the Indian government to set up a secure area with Pakistan so that people who live along the border can go to an Indian shrine that happens to be on Pakistani soil now. And I said, so explain how that happened to me. And he said, well, when they drew the border, okay, and so here's a historical question for you. Every fucked up border on the planet, who drew it? There's two answers 100% of the time. The Brits or the French? Those idiots, man. I'm telling you. Like, most of the conflict in the world, like, they gave us. Because of their inability to, like, draw borders along natural boundaries. And I don't mean natural geographic boundaries. I mean tribal boundaries, people that got along and did not get along, boundaries, that kind of shit. So, anywho, you know what? Hold on a second. I want to listen to something I'm seeing on TV. One of my favorite guys on TV is Trey Gowdy. He's not really a TV guy. Okay? So he's a conservative, and he's not running for office because he can't take it anymore. Okay? And so I just saw this. Hold on. I'm seeing his face right now. I got to rewind the thing a little bit. I got to hit play before we... Okay. All right, so when I see his face, hold on.
To unify.
This is from Fox at some point this morning.
Baseball game with Nancy Pelosi, obviously on the other side of the political aisle from you, wearing the LSU cap, and everyone came together. And Trey Gowdy, your colleague in the House, is making the point that in the wake of tragedy, we no longer see that last longer than a half an hour. Here he is talking about it.
But when we lose that sense of unity, that there is a moral code, That is not relativistic. It exists every day. Then it leads to this kind of malaise that unfortunately we find ourselves in. And tragedy used to be unifying, but now, Martha, it lasts for about 30 minutes.
Trey Gowdy is going back to South Carolina. And whenever I see him on TV, I stop and listen because he's a good dude and he speaks the truth. My experience watching him through a lot of different issues is Trey Gowdy is one of those guys who's not afraid of the truth. And most politicians parse it, run from it, do whatever. But I had some interesting conversations with some people about the future of the democracy. And I was surprised and heartened. You'll find this amusing, at how smart I actually am. That's right. Didn't see that one coming, did you? There's a lot of people in the country that are concerned about the democracy. And I won't name names, but I have important friends. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know who they are. But they're big-time people. So when you talk to them about, can you explain this from, you have a chance to... You are behind the curtain. The rest of us just observe it. You know it. You know the truth. How does this democracy that we have, where the truth doesn't matter, where what gets on our nightly news is the hottest... So that question, right, that I ask on a regular basis, what changes that? And the answer I got, I don't know. This unholy alliance between money and a media that just burns it down, and there is no regard for the truth. It's only getting it out there first that matters, because that's how you capture clicks, and that's what drives revenue. So On that cheery note, good morning to you. Hope you're having, hope you were having a good week. So I'm happy to be home, right? Except fired up next week, head up to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Well, I'll fly into Minneapolis, St. Paul, but head up to Minnesota State University, Mankato, to start the world tour. Yeah, the world tour is gradually building, by the way. Another couple events got added to it in the last week. So the concept of post-traumatic winning is a winner, honestly. When I audition it for people, they look at me and they say, where did you find this stuff? I said, I invented it. And my friends look at me and they say, go to hell, you did not. I said, what? What are you talking about? And then we start talking, and it's pretty cool. So again, it's an empowering message, and I think that there's a lot of people out there that want to go talk about things, but I don't think it's as real as post-traumatic winning. Post-traumatic winning is rooted in the enlisted side of the Marine Corps. That's right. It's rooted in the enlisted side of the Marine Corps. And so, anyway, so I love it. So, anyway, that was kind of interesting, though, being able to talk to my friends and ask them what they think about this kind of stuff. And they said, it is so much worse than people think. When you know the truth and you see what gets written, literally jaw-dropping. And then you get kind of numb to it, that it's just what the media does. The truth doesn't actually matter. The only thing that matters is they're writing that piece to get promoted, to make more money, to do whatever. And the American people don't often realize that. That's what's going on. Now, you have established people that have long records and make enough money that they can write the truth. Some do, some don't. And so the consensus was, we're not sure what happens. But it's pretty scary to sit and watch here at a high level, because the world needs a stable, strong United States. And it was interesting, one of the conversations I had was about China. And I was told that you're exactly right. China isn't all that. There's a window of romance that nations will have with China, and that window will close, because at the end of the day, they're dealing with a totalitarian regime, which is not interested in mutual development. They're interested in an exploitive relationship. Look at the economic terms that China dictates. That's wrong as hell. But that's the way they do it. That's the way they do it. And they do it to everybody. And slowly but surely, the world's beginning to wise up. They're saying, sorry, not really interested in that. That whole, if you want to do business here, you got to open up a partner. You got to transfer your technology to the partner and all that. The consistent theft of intellectual property, that will either force them to change, which they have no intention of doing, or people have to moderate the way they do business with them. And so it's kind of interesting, to the discussions I had. And, you know, in terms of China changing, I was reminded that was the argument that George Bush the Elder used when they came into the WTO. Yeah, you know, if we bring them into the WTO, if we help them develop, then they will go ahead and they will as they integrate with the rest of the world, they will become a more liberal government entity, whatever the hell they are. But progress will modernize them. Last I checked, within the last 30 days, they continue to run their re-education camps for Muslim. Yeah, that's going on in China as we speak. Where is the hue and cry about that? Where is Al-Qaeda when their Islamic brothers are being, when we need them? Where is Al-Qaeda when we need them to go lay the wood to China? Oh. I haven't heard them make a statement about that, the re-education of their brothers. Anyway, so I had a great time in D.C., and I'm fired up about next week as well. And then at the end of the month, supposed to go to Camp Lejeune, still working the details out on that. So I'm excited about that, too. So anyway, good Tuesday morning to you again. The United States Marine Corps Band will make it official. Alex Holling's going to join us this morning, so looking forward to talking to Alex. He normally joins us on Monday, but he'll join us today. So, good morning to you. And this is dedicated to the how do I say this? The people, the families, the synagogue members in Spring Hill, Squirrel Hill in Pittsburgh. And again, I will say this, just reconfirmed for me by the things I saw over the weekend. Don't pay attention to the news. That's not our country. Okay? That is not that gong show, that ridiculous craziness. That is not the country. In and around the Marine Corps Marathon, you saw people with running for all kinds of different purposes, helping people. That's the United States that I grew up in, that I know, that I live in. This other craziness that gets on TV is, in my opinion, ridiculous. But I would tell you, take heart. Shut the news off. Watch it sparingly. Download the Associated Press news app on your phone. They do news. They don't do the rest of this garbage. And go about your life and do good things. I saw so much good stuff going on in the name of other people that over the weekend, that it just, you know, it heartens you. It absolutely heartens you, and that's the country I fought for, that's the country I live in, that's the kind of people I lived around in North Dakota, that's the kind of people I live in on my street here in California. And whether I don't care if they're liberals or conservatives or what they are, when people need help, Americans help. It's our nature, right? And you know, even conversations I had over the weekend about quote unquote the caravan. One of the first comments that gets made is it's unbelievable to see the women, children, and families that are in those caravans, whose lives are so desperate that they will walk, what, 1,200 miles, something like that, 1,600 miles from the southern Mexican border to the United States. And so the human tragedy that goes on in Central America is, you know, is horrible. And so, do we have an issue on our border that we need to deal? Yes. But behind that, those comments that get made, those are Americans, right? Those are Americans. And so, this is dedicated to them and to all the people that have reached out to help them. If you know, one of the most touching things is, you know, this guy, you know, again, you know, mentally whatever. The nurse that treats him in the ER room, her father's a rabbi. She's Jewish. The doctor that attends to him in the emergency room, the first doctor that attends to him, he's Jewish. The president of the hospital is Jewish. I don't know if you saw that interview, pretty powerful interview yesterday with him when he said he went in to talk to him. And he said he's just a regular guy who's got problems. And he said, but, you know, our job is to look at him as a patient and nothing more. And that's, he said, I'm extremely proud. But, again, you know, that's our country. So this is dedicated to all those people. And this is dedicated also to those of us who do live our lives like that. Don't lose heart. At some point we win, they lose. I believe that. Although it doesn't look good. Although it doesn't look good on certain days.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather here. currently sunny and 50 degrees in Quantico, Virginia. So fall in the air back there. In Camp Lejeune, sunny and 56. Granbury, Texas. Gunner just informed me that he can't be on the program today. Cloudy in 72. Twenty-nine Palms, sun in 56, Camp Pendleton, clouds in 62, Okinawa, dark cloudy in 74. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is cloudy in 68, sun's going down. Costa Mesa, California, clouds in 64 here on a Tuesday. Looking for a high of 71, 71, 79 tomorrow, and 81 on Tuesday. So we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
Jack and Joe were fired up to see me this morning at 2 a.m. Actually, the trip went like clockwork, in case you're interested. The return flight. Right, drop off the rental car, get on the bus, go to the airport, check your bag. Flight's on time. Actually got a window seat. Go figure. Normally I'm stuck in the middle because I forget to check in. And talk to my Indian buddy for a little bit. Then try to go to sleep. That works. I'm not one of those people that can crash on an airplane for whatever reason. I can't even crash in my own house. So probably not the right word to use when you're in an airplane. But yeah, then land at LAX. Gate right near the closest, almost, I think the closest gate you can get to the terminal and the luggage facility. Boom. Off, down the stairs, down an escalator, pick up my suitcase, go out and get in the shuttle over the parking lot. Truck starts, right? There's always like, okay, don't do anything crazy. Everybody do their job here. Truck starts like a champion at about 1:35 in the morning. Get on the 405 headed south. Things mostly empty. You know what that means. Put it on 90 and go. So I did. I didn't do not 90, but a solid 80, 78, something like that. Making sure that I don't like to be the one passing everybody. That's not my thing. But I like to be, like, close to the people that are passing. So they're going to probably get the ticket, not me. I've learned that over time. Yeah. And so, yeah, I did that and walked to my house at 1:58. which was my goal. That way I could get like 4 hours sleep before I came, got and did this, because I had to do some. There's some hardware. I'm going to give you a little bit behind the scenes. This is like Oprah after the show. Okay. Some of the studio has to go with me. Not, and very little. Very little. My headphones go with me. They're about ready to give out, though. One of the ears is ripping off. And then the phones, the phones that I use to interview people, they go with me. And then there's cabling. I use these things called an iRig. When I started doing this, there's all this different technology that puts the show, can take a phone call and put it on the air as a part of a podcast. And so I was looking into, well, how do you do that now? Right? Do you have to have a phone console and all the rest of this craziness? Montana Man hates when I do that. That was for you, Montana Man. Yeah, he actually sends text messages about that. So, what are you doing? Stop it! Like, okay, shoe another horse, bro. Shut up. So, I found these things called iRigs, and they go from your phone. They're designed to take audio from your phone, and actually you can record it on your phone. And so there's a series of jacks in this iRig. One plugs into the audio jack of your phone, and then you can use it to record something. Okay. Initially used for, I want to say, guitarists, so that they could practice, right? And so there's a line in, so you could feed audio into it, so you could put some music on, and then you can play with it, and you can record it, so you can hear how you sound relative to your favorite Pearl Jam song that you're playing with. So those take the audio from my phone and they put it into the mixer that I use here, right? So the mixer is the one the thing that, wow, I'm looking and why is my audio so high? See the things that happen when you leave? Yeah. So anyway, there's a few things that have to get reset before I came on the air this morning. So I did that. We'll check the news. And then Alex Holling's coming at the top of the hour. Interesting thing. There wasn't one article in Marine Corps Times about the Marine Corps Marathon. I found that a bit odd. Largest cultural event the Marine Corps does, and crickets. What do you think that's about? I'm looking at a headline. You've heard a guy on this program talk about, his name is Ross Pape. He's a farmer up in northwest Minnesota. He's a friend of mine. I know his family. I've talked about his family on the program before, but Ross has had two brothers that served in the military, and both were killed in accidents here in the United States, one on a motorcycle while he was on terminal leave and the other one in a parachute accident. And I just saw a headline that is reminiscent of what his family has gone through as they got tried to get an explanation of how his brother was killed in a parachuting accident. And his brother was with he was transitioning from First Reconnaissance Battalion to First Force, going through their indoc or whatever. They were doing a jump day where they jump a number of times, I guess. Headline, Recon Marine's parachute became entangled. Reserve chute failed to inflate. Jump mishap investigation said. Ryan Pape, the oldest brother is Riley Pape. Riley was part of 1st Reconnaissance Battalion when they were in Al Anbar in 2004. That's where I met him. I knew his uncles. I never met his dad, but I knew his uncles because I drove a beet truck for him in the harvest one year trying to make some money. Yeah. On the radio during the day, Mac, the beet truck driver at night. It paid, I can't remember how much it paid. It paid a lot of money, though. $20 an hour, something like that. Yeah. Not bad. Part-time job. So anyway, Riley's killed in a motorcycle accident while on terminal leave getting ready to go back home. He was pouring concrete in National City, worked for a company, making some extra money, and his motorcycle hit a pole and was killed. Youngest brother, Ryan, is a senior in high school. He joins the Marine Corps that summer. That was in May of 2005. Ryan joins the Marine Corps, goes to Iraq, goes to Afghanistan, and then I want to say in 2009. They're doing static line night jumps, right? Which is the Normandy jump, right? Stand up, buckle up, shuffle to the door, that one, right? That's the oldest jump in parachuting. Static line night jump. And his main chute doesn't open because the riggers failed to connect the strap that goes onto the static line, and then they failed to connect that strap to the chute. Whoever inspected it failed to catch that was not connected. So my friends Ron and Char, they lose a son in the most random of way due to gross negligence of the riggers. And lack of supervision of the riggers. One of the issues that they identified was that our secondary chutes failed to function the majority of the time. And the reason that they failed to function is depending upon the angle of your body, when your initial chute fails, The secondary chute the Marine Corps had did not have a spring that forced it away from your body. So if you were like head down, right, and your body, let's just say at a 45 degree angle when you release your front chute, that thing could get fouled on your body as it attempted to deploy. So I guess there was another system out there that had a spring in it that fired it away from you that allowed it to deploy. So I saw this headline, it just stopped me, because, the pain that they live with, because the loss of a second son is absolutely brutal. So I'll read you a little bit of the story. A recon Marine's death during a jump mishap on January 22nd at the multi-mission parachute course in Coolidge, Arizona, was ruled an accident, according to an investigation completed by Naval Criminal Investigative Service, or NCIS. Corporal Alejandro Romero, a reconnaissance Marine with 3rd Recon Battalion based out of Okinawa, Japan, was killed in a jump mishap when his main and reserve chute failed to fully function, according to an NCIS investigation obtained by Marine Corps Times through a Freedom of Information Act. On the morning of January 22nd, Romero was the last member of the 7th Stick to exit the aircraft at 7,500 feet during a double bag static line jump. I'm not sure what a double bag static line jump is, but I think I'm going to find out here. A static line jump involves a line connected to the chute, right? That's the one you see at Normandy, right? When a jumper exits the aircraft, static line still hooked inside the aircraft catches and pulls the chute free. A double bag static line jump involves a pilot chute and a main chute, but the static line is connected to a drogue chute, D-R-O-G-U-E. A jumper hooks the static line inside the aircraft before exiting, and gravity pulls the drogue chute. I'm not even sure that I understand that. Anyway, so that's what it is. If you understand it, explain it to me. A jumpmaster that day noted that Romero had a clean exit from the aircraft, but was seen grabbing his risers before his chute fully inflated, according to the NCIS investigation. A crew on the ground witnessed Romero's main chute in a 360-degree right turn, the report stated. With the chute tangled, Romero attempted to cut it away while deploying his reserve chute, but the main chute never cut away, the investigation detailed, and was left streaming in trail. As Romero continued to fall without a fully functioning parachute, he attempted to deploy his reserve, but the main chute, still streaming, impeded the reserve canopy from inflating, according to the investigation. The recon Marine was witnessed spinning uncontrollably towards the ground, the investigation said. Emergency rescue personnel performed CPR. He was airlifted to Florence Anthem Hospital in Florence, Arizona, where he was pronounced dead at 8:58 a.m., a little over an hour after he exited the aircraft. Following Romero's death, the Corps temporarily suspended all double-bag static line jumps. So it was ruled an accident. And let me just tell you the significance. The significance was when they went through the bag and they went through the chute and they went through everything, what they found was it was done appropriately. I'd be curious to see the investigation. If it's all done right, what happened then? I don't get it. Because if it's all done right, it all works. And you don't see this stuff very, very many times. So what happened? Marine Corps wants to cut tedious annual training in order to focus on lethality. Now, the Army's been doing this. The Army doesn't do weekend safety briefs anymore. Why? Because it was a cover-your-ass event. And last year, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis ordered a review of administrative and training requirements that were bogging down the military's ability to focus on core combat tasks. But the Corps already has been a bit of the game. Since 2015, the Corps has cut down the number of hours in annual training requirements by changing some courses to biennial requirements and combining other standalone courses. This will be interesting because these things are all, it's called bit training, back in the saddle training. And it's normally done, a lot of units do it, right after you come back from the holidays. So yeah, everybody's gone over Christmas, everybody and New Year or some part thereof. And then you come back and you're not typically doing anything the first week in January. So what do? You do bits training, back in the saddle training, which are the following. Lots of these classes. Some of those leader discussion courses now include hazing, tobacco cessation, unit awareness and prevention, integrated training. Unit Marine Awareness and Prevention Integrated Training. What the hell is that? Marine Corps Records Management. Yeah, can you imagine this stuff? Combating Trafficking in Persons. Like, what does that have to do with us? If you see it, say something. Violence Prevention, Social Media Contact. Right? Some of them you see, you got to tell them. And again, just remember, for the Marine Corps, 60% under the age of 60% under the age of 26, and that doesn't change. You're constantly fighting this fight of social media contact, trying to integrate people, hazing, That's why those are big issues. The Marine Corps is skews extremely young. All right, now the Corps says its combat development leaders are developing a plan for a comprehensive assessment of non-combat-related tasks and activities in an effort to focus on combat readiness and lethality. The Corps has, quote, already reduced service-directed training requirements and continues to take initiatives to reduce service-directed training that does not meet the aforementioned focus. The Corps' push to reduce the burden of annual training requirements aligns with the Mattis-directed task force to close combat lethality. The goal of the task force and Mattis' directed is to reduce mundane training while using that time to focus on core tasks that boost combat readiness and lethality. Yeah. Army Times reported in September the Army decided to cut weekend safety briefs. Why? Because nobody pays attention to them. All they're thinking about is, okay, we're almost out of here, and I've got to stop and get gas, and then we're headed to Vegas, and what's he say? What did the first sergeant say? Oh, nothing. He made a couple jokes and blah, 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 blah. So, but, you know, somebody gets killed and somebody didn't have a safety brief, then that's on the command. Yeah, at some point, we all have to remember that, you know, they're not babies. As much as, I had an interesting conversation with somebody about dealing with a generation of young Americans that, through no fault of their own, have been raised where everybody gets an award and their parents don't let them suffer through failure because they're helicopter parents, that they intervene. How do you persevere through adversity? What does that give you if you don't? It gives you a child, really, because that's what grows you up. Adversity grows you up. And so if you don't have that, you have a child. I mean, they maybe have an older body, but you essentially have a child. President Trump orders 5,200 active duty troops to the U.S.-Mexico border in what I would say is largely a symbolic movement. But the election is upon us. More than 5,000 U.S. active duty forces will be used to, quote-unquote, harden points of entry along the U.S.-Mexican border to confront what officials said is now two caravans of more than 6,000 migrants from Central America making their way towards the border. U.S. Northern Commander Air Force General Terrence O'Shaughnessy said Monday. He was pretty impressive in his little brief, by the way. I watched it. We're bringing out military police units. We're bringing out strategic airlift. As we sit right now, we have three C-130s, a C-17 that is ready to deploy with Customs and Border Patrol personnel wherever they need to be. 5,200 active duty troops would join about 2,100 National Guard forces sent by Texas, California, New Mexico, and Arizona earlier this year to bolster the border. Most of the National Guard forces are unarmed. In contrast, O'Shaughnessy said that the active duty troops would be armed if their specialty, such as military police, required it. Those first troops coming out of Fort Knox and Fort Campbell, both in Kentucky, will eventually be augmented with aviation support from three medium-lift helicopter companies and three combat engineer companies. In all, the force headed for the border will total about 5,200 would be deploying at the end of the week. So that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. Yeah, the whole caravan thing. I mean, I've admonished everybody. Whatever you see on the news, take it with a grain of salt. All right? Because there's somebody behind it. And most of the time, it's for some other reason than them being altruistic. So, again, I got cured of things happened by coincidence when I went to Iraq. Kind of an interesting story. The military's obsession with energy drinks is contributing to PTSD, a study finds. Hmm. Getting adequate sleep is increasingly rare among active duty military population, as frequent deviations from the body's natural rhythms due to a demanding operational tempo pit personnel in an ongoing struggle against the ever-present sandman. To combat the sleep deprivation unique to this demographic, service members often turn to energy drinks, a prominent component of combat deployments that has become paramount to mission success as any piece of protective gear or weaponry. The prevalence of energy drinks used in these settings is extraordinary. The lifeblood is virtually everywhere and tends to cost nothing, resulting in the environment in which nearly half deployed troops down at least one readily available can per day. But while consuming these drinks may not hurt service members in their wallets, excessive use may very well be contributing to long-term mental and physical ailments, a recent study in the Military Medicine Journal observed. The authors of the study surveyed over 600 male infantry soldiers during a post-deployment period after the brigade combat team returned from a 12-month combat deployment to Afghanistan. Questions were designed to examine the association of energy drinks with sleep deprivation or insomnia, depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, alcohol abuse, aggressive behaviors, and fatigue. What the authors found was that over the course of the month leading up to the survey, more than 75% of soldiers consumed energy drinks. More surprising, however, was that 16% of the soldiers in the study reported continuing to consume two or more energy drinks per day during the post-deployment period. High energy drink use, which is classified as consuming two or more drinks per day, was significantly associated with those survey respondents who reported mental health problems, anger-related behaviors, and fatigue, the authors found. So is it contributing? It's not. How can an energy drink contribute to PTSD? Also note that energy drink use in this Army infantry sample was 5 times higher than previous studies that analyzed consuming patterns of airmen and the general population's use. Troubling patterns like this comes as no surprise with the understanding of energy drink availability during deployment, a setting where drinks like Rip It are practically the beverage of choice. Mike and I were talking about this, I don't know, a week or two ago. Like other energy drinks, a Rip It often referred to overseas as crack provides the immediate jolt service members look for to spike physical and cognitive performance. More than a few pallets of Rip It have mysteriously been acquired over the years by troops outside of chow halls in Iraq and Afghanistan, oversupplying these service members to the point in which many engage in excessive caffeinated drinking competitions. Just ask Shane Snell, the results of the games aren't pretty. Alex Holling's going to join us. This is something that Alex would know about, so I'm going to ask him about it. I don't know that they contribute to PTSD. They might be some of the things that go, I don't know, PTSD is an emotional event, right? It certainly could be exacerbated. When you're doing unhealthy things, that would certainly make whatever you're dealing with harder to deal with. That's why I found that headline curious. All right, top 5 stories in Early Bird, real quick. 1, veterans are cutting back on smoking and drinking, but they still face significant health risks. That's in Military Times. 2, Pentagon's big audit will inspect for cybersecurity flaws, according to the comptroller, which we all learned a couple weeks ago is the chief financial officer in a government organization. 3, President Trump orders 52 active duty troops to the U.S.-Mexican border. 4, prepare for war, Jiang Xiaoping tells military region that monitors the South China Sea in Taiwan. Now, I don't know if that's a response to our lieutenant general, who a week ago said within 15 years we'll be in a war with China. Which I think is, like, it's stupid. I don't know if he's selling something or what, but a war between major superpowers, a little bit redundant. War between superpowers, that's a big deal. And if you look at our ability to coexist with Russia, what is your what's your basis for it? Number five, Air Force receives its largest ordnance shipment in Europe since the Cold War. How did that get out? Are we, like, somebody monitoring our ordnance delivery? All right, we'll take a break. Alex Holling's going to join us. So we'll talk Ripit first. I'm kind of curious about that. So, whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More Ballman Radio coming up on this Tuesday, right here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network. And again, Alex Holling's going to join us next, right here on All Marine Radio.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at AllMarineRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen.